You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
There's that sound again, kicking off the hour number two on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Mike Blewett, along with George Kurtz. If you want to give us a call, feel free today. We'll talk about anything you want. 1-844-843-6879. That's 84-FNTSY. To those of you listening on the app, appreciate it. To those of you streaming live, we appreciate it. You can always listen to us on demand by downloading that FNTSY radio app and listening in any time of day. Listen to all the shows on demand as well. You can catch us on demand.
Hell, just listen to the commercials. Like. They're entertaining.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we got guys talking about marrying people with health issues. We got talking about Mike Florio is talking about how he's proud of himself because he has his own apartment.
Mike, you could not have paid me enough to do Florio's commercial. I'm a man because I moved out of my house and have a girlfriend or something like that. Oh, my God, there's no way you could have paid me enough to do that. And I think Tony wrote that commercial.
Yeah, he certainly definitely did. That's got Tony Cincotta's hands all over it. But I can assure you, Mike Florio is very much an adult. He's a kid to me, but he's an adult. He's a very apt analyst. I did a show with him a few weeks ago.
Mike's great. Time.
He's awesome.
I think the tomorrow show I'm doing with Tony. That should be interesting, as always.
Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. Yeah, I can't. So, yeah, I'm going to the Dallas game tomorrow, so I can't. Can't broadcast.
Keep rubbing that in, Mike.
Be in Dallas. I know.
When I burn your house down on the way home, you'll wonder why.
Yeah, I totally understand that. But So here's the thing, folks. George is a diehard Dallas fan. He has been your whole life, correct?
Correct. Yeah. For my first Cowboy game that I can remember watching was the second Super Bowl versus Pittsburgh, which would have been '77.
Yeah, so it's funny. It's about really when I came into it as well. The first one I can really remember watching, though, was the next year, was the Rams-Steelers Super Bowl.
I remember that one, too. Vince Ferragamo.
Vince Ferragamo, everybody's answer to, well, can a backup quarterback make it to the Super Bowl? You just talk about 37 years ago when Vince Ferragamo did it. So Jeff Hostetler obviously did it. Yeah, Jeff Hostetler obviously did it due to injury as well in 1990 with the Giants. So, I lost my train of thought because you're talking about our idiot co-hosts. But in any event, the thing I really wanted to talk about, we left a couple of coaching things open. We know the San Francisco job is still open. That looks like there's a few guys on tap there to interview, and that's going to be Kyle Shanahan, Josh McDaniels, Tom Cable. People talk about a Josh McDaniels, Jimmy Garoppolo package. I think the Pats are going to hold them over the coals for that. So we'll see how that shakes out. I almost feel bad for McDaniels in some way because they keep advancing. It's a little bit more difficult to fine-tune this interview process when you're trying to prepare for the Texans, if he even has to do all that much for this particular game. But it's a really good defense, so yes, they do have to prep. But I want to talk about the games. I think the game I wanted to talk about first – oh, I know what I was talking about. I was saying – the reason George is angry, he's a diehard Dallas fan his whole life, and I'm going to the playoff game. I'm not a fan. I'm a Steelers fan, and it's the game we're going to talk about next. But, again, I had this opportunity, and I will report back. I'll try to call in tomorrow in order to give you some sense of the buzz in the city and all that kind of stuff. But it'll be well before the game, so I'm not going to be anywhere near the stadium. So, that being said.
If I was you, I wouldn't try too hard, by the way.
Yeah. I know.
I'm enjoying my night, and it's the show 7-10, which means in Dallas it'd be 6-9. Yeah, I don't know if I'm trying that hard. Sorry, Cardano. We had communication problems, but I tried.
If I call in, we're talking like an 8:50 local time, Eastern local time call for me, sir. We'll see how that goes. But have a poll
phone
up,
died. Mike. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't charge it.
I do have a poll up, and I said which coach inherited the best scenario. I left Vance Joseph off because we can only pick four, and Vance Joseph has a championship defense. You could argue that Denver with the quarterback situation isn't the best scenario, but I left him off, so you just got to pick between the other four. What do you want me to do? Doug Marrone, Jacksonville, Anthony Lynn in San Diego, Sean McVay in L.A., and Sean McDermott in Buffalo. So have at it on Twitter there. Feel free to tweet at us. We're at FNTSY Radio. George is at George Kurtz. I'm at Mike Blewett. So moving on to the games. I want to talk about Steelers at Chiefs first. I know it is the latest game of the weekend, so we're going to do this in backwards order, but it's a really compelling game to me, so just wanted to kick it off there. Obviously, it is the big piece of news. The game moves from 1:05 tomorrow to 8:20 p.m. They're going to have snow and ice during the day. It's going to stop around 2 o'clock, as George said, 34 degrees at kickoff. KC is currently 1.5-point favorite. We have a 44.5 total. A couple of interesting stats here. The Steelers beat them 43-14 in Pittsburgh in Week 4. Some would argue that the Steelers are a much different team than they were in Week 4, as are the Chiefs. Ben on the road this season, 9 touchdowns, 8 interceptions on the road. So that's not great. You have Andy Reid is 16-2 after bye weeks, 3-0 in the playoffs. So, George, give me your sense, really, how you think this game might go. We'll talk about fantasy implications in a moment.
Well, first of all, for all four games this weekend, they're all rematches. And the first game doesn't That's matter right. for any of them. Don't care. All right? So much has changed in the NFL. You can't go back. You mentioned Pittsburgh, K-State was Week 4. I think Dallas, Green Bay was Week 5. New England, Houston was also Week 4. I guess Seattle, Atlanta was the closest as far as being as close to the end of the season. Even that was at least 4 to 6 weeks ago. They just don't matter. Way too much has changed for me to care. You can look back and see little things, but not really all that much. Pittsburgh, Seattle. I mean, really, Pittsburgh, it comes down to home or road. Home, they seem to be unbeatable. Road, they can't beat anybody. I mean, that's just the way it's been. That being said, better team. I think Pittsburgh's the better team. The defense has really stepped up. The defense, it's not the steel curtain defense of the 70s, the Super Bowl teams of the 70s and 80s, like we were talking about with when they beat Dallas, they beat Ferragamo and the Rams. No, they're not that defense, but they're playing at a much better rate. So I like what I'm seeing there from Pittsburgh. We know Le'Veon Bell's great. We know Ben can be great. And by the way, I am so sick of Ben Roethlisberger. Oh, my God, I'm hurt. I got to wear the boot. I don't know if I, get over yourself. I think this guy likes to prove to everybody how tough he is. I'll be okay. I'll play the game. For you, I'll do it. Give me a break. All right, so it just drives me insane. If the guy had a hangnail, I swear to you, he'd have a cast on his arm. So anyway, I think Pittsburgh's the better team. I truly do. If it was in Pittsburgh, no doubt I'm picking the Steelers here. I mean, no doubt. I can't really see how KC is going to be able to do this, with the exception that Ben doesn't play well on the road. You throw in the weather conditions here. That's also not conducive. I think any kind of bad weather helps KC. Pittsburgh is a much better passing game. They're much more dynamic offense outside of Tyreek Hill. Yes, bad weather will slow him down, you would think, where he wouldn't be able to cut and do all his little jukes and everything else. So you also look at KC, no Derek Johnson. Which this should be good news for Derek Bell. Le'Veon Bell. Derek Bell's the baseball player. So Derek Bell had one of the greatest lines ever in spring training. If I ain't starting, I ain't departing. Fantastic.
That's right.
But yeah. Le'Veon Bell, I mean, everything points to Pittsburgh here, with the exception it's on the road. And it's in KC, one of the toughest places to play on the road in the NFL. On Monday, I was all prepared to pick. I'm going with KC just for that alone. Pittsburgh's looked terrible on the road. Been burned by them way too much. Got crushed in Miami. Got crushed against Philadelphia on the road. I'm going with KC. Yesterday on the show with Old School Fantasy with Scott and Jake, I picked Pittsburgh. I just think they're the better team. I'm going to go with them to win.
I'm with you. I think
shocking.
Listen, this game really could go either way. It's a tight game. I think people really overlook the Chiefs in a lot of ways because it's not a dynamic offense, with the exception of Tyreek Hill, who's come out of nowhere this season. I think that the weather can slow him down a little bit, but you could probably say the same about Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. I just think that the Steelers, two things. First of all, Ben, Brown, and Bell are healthy. That Ben Roethlisberger injury thing is going to dog him his whole career. I can't defend him. There's always something. He is off the injury report, so it's no walking boot, nothing like that. I don't know that he should have been out there at the end of the game last week, getting hurt on basically the last offensive play in an 18-point blowout.
Just don't run that play.
It is what it is.
Why would you run that play? I never got that.
Shouldn't be at risk there. He shouldn't have been on the field.
By the way, it's still raining tonight. Tomorrow night in KC, so it's not going to be perfect weather. Yeah. There's no freezing rain, it looks like.
Right. So that's part of it. It's the Bell Brown Ben trifecta.
Killer bees. Healthy
and playing in the playoffs. So that's number one for me. They've been very difficult for people to stop. Granted, on the road, it hasn't been as smooth, but I'll take my chances with that over an Alex Smith, Spencer Ware, Travis Kelce trio, I guess is who you would put against them. So that's one. Number two, Steelers defense had some struggles. I didn't think that they were going to make it through this season playing as well as they did down the stretch because they lost Cam Hayward, their best defensive lineman. But here's the deal. The Steelers have the least sacks in the NFL through Week 10. And now, George, since Week 11, they have the most. They have 30 sacks since Week 11. It's a little bit of James Harrison. The linebackers are playing their tails off, and that's Steelers football historically. And now it's amazing to see this back with Bud Dupree, who takes an $18,000 fine for lighting up Matt Moore. You got Lawrence Timmons. We know what he is. He's the savvy veteran who still makes plays. You got Ryan Shazier, who honestly is playing at a really high level right now. And obviously Jarvis Jones out there. The defensive secondary is a weak spot, but they've played better as of late too. But 30 sacks since Week 11, the most in the NFL.
The defense has played better. For whatever reason, they played better, whether they're feeling it, whether they got healthy, whether a scheme changed, whatever it is, they're playing better. They're playing at a championship level. And what I mean by that is they don't need to be great. The offense will control that. The offense will score points. They just need to be able to not be terrible. You know, you pick up the Cowboy game, you can't have a running back run all over you. I don't think Spencer Ware can do that in a million years tomorrow. You can't have a quarterback throw all over you. Alex Smith can't do that. True, the only way I could see them losing tomorrow is, A, they just don't play well. You know, Ben does his old on the road where he just can't move the ball. Or they let, you know, special teams, they let Tyreek Hill take over the game. Don't know if that's going to be possible with the weather tomorrow. Everything points pretty well towards the Steelers, even when you think of the rain. That first Pittsburgh-KC game was played in a rainstorm as well. Granted, it wasn't at 32 degrees, but it was played in rain. Ben had no problem throwing the ball.
That's right. Now, rain typically doesn't bother me. Wind and freezing conditions would bother me a little bit more, but I don't really have much of an issue with the weather.
What are we doing with the wind here? The temperature's right around freezing. They call it a shower throughout the whole game. So it's going to be wet, but the wind is nothing. 6 miles an hour, which is nothing. So the wind isn't going to be an issue. If they can throw a wet ball, they'll be fine. But it does look like it's going to be wet, but not freezing wet.
So, George, if you're in a one-and-done competition and you haven't used any of the Steelers yet, are you going in on the Steelers here? Are you going in on any particular Steelers?
As you know, in my one-and-dones, I did blow all my Steelers last week, and I'm happy I did. They all did great.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
No, I would not use my Steelers here. I mean, once again, it's hard to always say this because you're looking at what else you might have. Maybe you saved your Packers. Maybe you didn't. I did save my Packers. So I'm using all my Packers tomorrow. I also would rather go with some New England players if I had to. I just don't trust it. The only reason I would here is let's say for some reason, Mike, that you didn't use your Steelers last week. You know, for whatever reason, you didn't use them against Miami. There is a chance. I mean, as much as I think Pittsburgh wins the game tomorrow, if I was going to put a percentage on it, 60-40, so it's close to a toss-up here. I don't want to lose Bell Brown. I'm not starting Ben tomorrow under any circumstances, but I don't want to lose Bell and Brown. So if I didn't use Bell last week, I'm almost forced to because I don't want to not use Bell at all these playoffs. He's just too great a player to take a chance on a zero. And it's not like would have a great matchup versus New England next week anyway. It would be good, but not great. So if for some reason I didn't use it last week, then yes, I would. But this is another reason why I used all my Steelers last week because I knew I didn't want to use them this week.
And the only guy you're really going to be looking at on the Chiefs side of the ball is probably, two guys, probably Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, correct?
I mean, Kelce's a definite. I don't know if I'm using Hill. You look at he hasn't gotten any catch the past couple of weeks. Yeah. So there's nothing really. You need a big play. Are you going to get it? Maybe. But those big plays that come out of the running game, he's not going to surprise anybody anymore. Yeah, everybody knows it looks like Tyreek Hill. So I'm not looking to use him. Once again, I think you're going to have better options. You know, there's a whole bunch of receivers on Green Bay. You know, Dez Bryant's back. All those teams that are on bye last week are back. So, no, I don't see myself using Hill in one and dones. DFS is a little different. You know, maybe you want to save some money there, depending on what his price is on the site you're using, DraftKings, whatever. I could see that being an option there. But I'm not. I wouldn't go overboard on Hill just because they aren't. For whatever reason, they aren't. And that bothers me.
Okay, good stuff. We're going to hit a break here. We'll continue to talk about this game and the rest of the games throughout the weekend. It's Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning.
Welcome back, Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm George Kurtz. Mike Blue will be returning shortly, as Mike is indisposed at the moment. Talking about playoffs this weekend, divisional weekend, my favorite weekend of the year as far as NFL is concerned. Generally, you have the best eight teams going here. We've been discussing the Pittsburgh-KC game, which was moved. If you haven't heard, if you're living under a rock or in a cave, it's no longer the early game on Sunday. It's now the night game on Sunday, as they were worried about, I guess, public safety, freezing rain here. Personally, I would have liked to have seen that game. I like watching games in bad weather, rain, snow. In this case, it would have been freezing rain and ice. I would have found it interesting. But no, they moved the game, which I don't have an issue with. Not like I had any other plans Sunday night anyway. So good for them there. Early in the week, like I said, I'm certainly worried about Pittsburgh. Their home road splits are awful. You know, they're just not good. For whatever reason, I don't think anybody can really put their finger on it, but Ben has not played well on the road. You know, so there's some worry there. I do think Pittsburgh's the better team here. So I think on Old School Fantasy with Scott Engel yesterday, Scott Engel and I both had Pittsburgh to win. I think I had 20-17. Scott may have had a 23-20. Jake Seeley went the other direction and picked KC. I think we all know Mike Blue is going to pick Pittsburgh, as he is the Steelers fan here. I'm looking for a good game, though. I think Andy Reid coming off a bye is almost unbeatable. It seems like he has a fantastic record off a bye. So that should make things a little tougher on Pittsburgh. He'll try to come up with a plan to keep Le'Veon Bell in check. I don't think you can stop Le'Veon Bell, but you want to keep him in check. They won't have Derek Johnson, so that's an issue there. So they'll make, it'll be tough to stop him up the middle. Le'Veon Bell is a different kind of running back than I've really ever seen. He's somebody who can, he has immense patience. Runs to what you see, him. He stops, he's looking for the hole, that starts up again, and goes from 0 to 60 really quick. Not every running back can do that, because not every running back can get that burst back so quickly. They'll get a tackle behind the line of scrimmage more often than not, and all of a sudden it's 2nd and 12 rather than 2nd and 6, 2nd and 5. So he's just a different kind of back here. But it's all going to come down to the throw game for me, the passing game. Can Ben be his normal self? I don't think he doesn't need to score 30 points in this game to win, because I don't think KC is going to score 30 points either. This game smells like a 20-17 type game here. But can he stop the dumb turnovers? Can't do that. Can't get that. Can't get those fans riled up and get them in the game there. Spencer Ware for KC. He's not the back we thought he might be. He's an average back. At best, an average back. I think Charkandrick West will also get some playing time here. It could be a situation where they go with the hot back. If Ware's hot, it's him. If West is hot, it's him. I think it's really that simple there. Alex Smith is what he is. He's a game manager. Maybe a little bit better than a game manager, but he's not going to take too many shots. They're not going to want Alex Smith to determine the game. They're just going to want him not to lose the game for them. So I think KC is sort of, they're playing what I like to call a fourth quarter game. Keep the game close for three quarters, and then the fourth quarter, try and win it there. I think that's what KC will do. So Mike, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow on the Sunday night?
I mean, as far as game flow is concerned, I'm thinking, look, Kansas City gets consistently underrated, and they have corners and secondary that can match up with Antonio Brown. I think that's the interesting part of this game, right? You have Marcus Peters there. You have Eric Berry that can create fits. I think Ben Roethlisberger's biggest challenge is how can he play a clean game. Kansas City does well creating turnovers. They do a great job limiting turnovers. They consistently win the turnover battle over these last 2 years in particular. So Roethlisberger is going to have to keep the ball away from Eric Berry in a very big way. I think the manner in which you're going to try to do that is to establish Le'Veon Bell as much as they can in running the ball. It's going to be a very balanced game for them. They don't always have to play a balanced offensive game, but it's going to have to be very balanced for them. They're going to Todd Haley, former Kansas City head coach, is really going to have to do a very good job play calling. I think he's an underrated offensive coordinator, by the way. And, you know, think about where the Steelers are at, by the way, just, you know, just to kind of take a step back as to some of the tough decisions, because you had Terry Bradshaw coming out a couple of weeks ago and just sort of doubting Mike Tomlin's acumen as a head coach. I guess that's the best way to phrase that. And this is a guy who, when he came in, I'm going to go off here for a minute, George, so give me a little bit of a wide berth. When he came in, he was not in any way expected to be the next head coach of the Steelers. He was the type of guy that blew them away in the interview process. He only been defensive coordinator in Minnesota for one season. This is kind of what we're seeing with some of these current hires, right? Like with Vance Joseph and with Sean McVay, guys that don't have a long established resume. Mike Tomlin was only 34 when he got the gig. So he came in, he decided to keep Dick, he was sort of told to keep Dick LeBeau on. He ran the Tampa 2, Dick LeBeau ran a bit of a different scheme, and Mike Tomlin bit the bullet and said, you know what, that's probably our best chance to win. We already have some good defenders here, let's go with it. So, you know, he was coming in off a team that had just won the Super Bowl a year prior. And so he comes in. A few years later, the offense is doing well, but we never saw Ben Roethlisberger go to big heights in fantasy football, right? He was a good player. He was always the guy. He's the better NFL player than a fantasy quarterback. He probably still is that, but it was a huge gap before. He makes the decision, and I think it was done in a messy manner, to push Bruce Arians out and to bring in Todd Haley. How's that offense look since Todd Haley's been offensive coordinator?
Look pretty good.
Yeah, damn good. Now, people point at me and say, well, of course, they drafted Le'Veon Bell and they established Antonio Brown. Well, listen, they made some tremendous organizational decisions. They picked a guy and developed him into the best running back in football. They decided not to sign Mike Wallace and they decided to sign Antonio Brown to a longer deal. That's a great organizational decision. But ultimately, Todd Haley and Ben Roethlisberger have taken his game to a new level, a Hall of Fame level. So that's where we sit. I mean, that Todd Haley's job that he has done in Pittsburgh, I think, sometimes gets overlooked. And you talk about coordinators getting another shot at a head coaching job. It didn't go well for Haley in Kansas City at all. But I think he's a guy that in the next season or two could see another shot, if he wants it, at a head coaching gig. Now, that's why I'm talking about him extensively, because I feel like he will need to establish a really good balanced game here. He's not going up against some rookie head coach. He's going up against Andy Reid, who is going to sniff this out, and he's got pro bowlers on both sides of the ball. So I think it's going to be a really balanced game. I think they're going to have to go to Bell. I think Roethlisberger is going to have to be extremely careful, because if that crowd gets into it and Eric Berry makes a play, then it could change the entire tenor of the game. What concerns me is with the conditions not being all that bad, is can Tyreek Hill be a huge factor in special teams? This has a chance to be a pretty tight game, and a special teams play can push it either way.
Yeah, I think it is going to be a tight game. Like I said, I think this game smells like 20-17, you know, 23-20, somewhere around there, where mistakes will determine the game. And that's the way most football games are. You know, I'm pretty close to a believer where you really don't beat other teams, they beat themselves. You know, whether it's turnovers, penalties, not, you know, drop passes. Last weekend, Mike, I thought the story of the weekend was every team that lost was because they dropped passes over and over again. I mean, it was just silly how many drop passes there were for these teams that were supposed to be in the game. You know, the Raiders, Cooper dropped a pass over and over again. So did Crabtree. So did Roberts. You know, they didn't give McGloin any help here. Detroit, same thing. First two drives ended on third down drops by Golden Tate and Eric Ebron. You just can't have that over and over again. The Giant game, what was the story? You know, same thing. Odell Beckham, a couple of drops. You know, including a couple of touchdown passes. You know, one Beckham dropped, and I believe one, I forget who dropped. It might have been Cruz. So, you know, drops are determine more football games than great plays.
Yeah, and you said something earlier, which I had written down, but you made a great point. All four of these games are rematches. I don't know if this has ever happened before.
It has. I haven't heard yesterday.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah,
it's not. That, I think it's happened four times in the past 15 years, actually.
So it's actually a lot. So, you know, I guess that it belies the consistency of organizations that make it back to the playoffs. You know, the Packers, I mean, how many times have they made the playoffs in a row? Is this like 7-8 in a row for the Packers? Maybe longer?
That I
don't know. Yeah, they, I mean, they've got, you know, very consistently, and obviously we got Steelers and New England and other teams that have been really good year over year. Some new, you know, Seattle obviously in there. Obviously get some guys back into the playoffs, Atlanta and Dallas and the like. But, you know, this 43-14 in week four, look how the Steelers dominated. The Chiefs were really bad that night, and the Steelers were really good. It was a confluence of events, which I don't expect to happen at all. I think the Steelers really... It's easy to say, hey, you got to win the turnover battle. Obviously, everybody wants to do that every week, but it's going to be really important that Roethlisberger doesn't get hit. You know, the one thing I would say, too, in doing a little bit of research this week, you know, something that is interesting from the Steelers' Chiefs standpoint is that Dee Ford and other guys that were putting a lot of heat on the quarterback early this year have really fallen off. They have not put as much pressure. Tamba Hali and Dee Ford were really good early in the season, but they have just two sacks since week 10. The Steelers' offensive line has allowed the second fewest sacks in the league, so I think that's going to help Roethlisberger to stay clean. He's got to keep it out of the hands of Eric Berry and Marcus Peters. So that's really sort of how I see it. I don't know if you differ all that much. I heard you talking about Alex Smith and his ability to try to push the ball down the field, but they're really going to – he's very good at avoiding pressure at times because he's got the ability to run, but these linebackers are too athletic. They're not going to let him out of the pocket and do any damage in that way. So we'll see. He's really going to have to stay clean. They do a good job of limiting turnovers, but at some point they're going to have to take shots down the field to keep up with this offense, don't you think?
I would think, yeah. I mean, you do think, but I also look at it like this. For Smith and Roethlisberger as well, because you see them both make some really weird decisions at times. You know, there's nothing wrong with throwing the ball away. Live the fight another day. Punt the ball even on third downs. Sometimes both these guys throw the ball almost up for grabs. So it's like, what are you doing? You're not a first-year quarterback. You should know better than this. And I think that's something you can't do here. Like I said, I have no problem third down punt the ball away from Pittsburgh. Casey doesn't have a dynamic offense. They're not going to go march down the field. All of a sudden, it's going to be 7 points. So, you know, give your defense a chance to play, to stop them. Don't think you have to make every play by yourself. You're not playing New England here where you know they're going to score 30-plus points. So, you know, a punt is, you know, almost giving up. You know, you can afford to punt here. Just don't make dumb plays.
Yeah. One thing I would say, we talked a lot about how the Steelers' defense has really improved. The one thing that I would point to, I talked about the sacks earlier. In the first half of the season, the Steelers surrendered 22.9 points per game and 380 yards per game. Since then, those numbers have come down to 16.6 points and 295 yards a game. So they've reduced it by 85 yards of offense and nearly 7 points. So... big difference there. We'll see what happens tomorrow. I think this has an opportunity to be a really exciting game. And, you know, as a Steelers fan, I hope they come out on top. We've talked about your one-and-done scenarios. I do think you can use Le'Veon Bell. It's not going to be your favorite matchup. I hope you used him last week. But I think Le'Veon Bell is a guy you can use. You can, frankly, always use Antonio Brown, even with a tough matchup like this. Do I think this is the monster performance by the Steelers? No. I think at this point you're probably better off. It depends how you angled it, but you might be better off holding off until the Super Bowl with a couple of these guys in order to try to get a bigger performance there where the defenses may not be as powerful. You know, we're looking down the barrel of an Atlanta or a Packers or a Dallas defense there. So a little bit easier to move the ball than it is against the Chiefs. So we will talk Seattle and Atlanta after the break. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are on to the Seattle and Atlanta game. First, before I do that, I'll tell you about DFS Lineup Lock. And if you're serious about daily fantasy sports, then you don't need to be told how important information is an hour before lineups lock. If you're only semi-serious about DFS, then know this. The DFS Lineup Lock Show, sponsored by DailyRoto.com, is the most important tool in your kit for winning at DFS. From 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, Tony Cincata and Benny Riccardi, he of the sweater vest look, will give you injuries, last-second lineup changes, and everything you need to know to win. DFS Lineup Lock with Tony Cincata and Benny Riccardi, only on Fantasy Sports Radio Network, on demand at fntsy.com/radio, or available for download on iTunes. So we did put a poll up, which new head coach inherited the best situation. I told you we left Vance Joseph out, championship defense. I get it. There's questions at quarterback, but we can only have four options. So Marone with the Jaguars, Lynn with the Chargers, McVay with the Rams, McDermott with the Bills, George early returns, Doug Marone with the Jaguars, which is how I voted, ironically.
Yeah, it's where I would have voted as well. I would have had San Diego 2, Buffalo 3, L.A. 4.
Yeah, that's how it's shaking out right now. Buffalo, I don't think they're that far away.
No, I think Buffalo and San Diego's close.
Yeah, they're not that far away. I just, you know, when you're looking at down the barrel of a quarterback situation that you don't know what it is, you got problems. I mean, the Rams know what theirs is. We don't know if it's any good, but at least they know what theirs is. We know what San Diego's is. The Jaguars, apparently Coughlin's not in love with Bortles, but it's got to be Bortles' job to lose going into July or, you know, this offseason. They're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round. It doesn't make any sense. With Buffalo, I mean, this one could be a black hole right now because we don't know who it's going to be. If they don't like Taylor, then it can't be just Cardale Jones. It's going to be a veteran that they bring in to compete, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just strange. You said they're probably not going to spend a first-round pick on. You know, I'm going to believe, Mike, the Green Bay Packers used to always, they were big believers in it when they had Favre, that they would draft a quarterback, maybe not every year, but every other year in the middle of the draft, round four, round five, just see if they can develop somebody. You know, if you can, great. If not, fine. You're trying to cover yourself. If you can, hey, you now have a trade chip. If you're able to develop somebody, we've seen what these quarterbacks can go for. If you got a good young one, think about Sam Bradford.
The Patriots do this constantly,
right? Patriots do it as well. It makes some sense because quarterback. I mean, I don't why teams don't realize it. Jerry Jones never realized it. You know, they're the most important.
Think about how much air we think about how much hot air we wasted talking about Ryan Mallett, George.
Right.
Think about that.
I mean, it's just amazing that more teams don't do this. Develop a quarterback, you know. You look at the Cowboys; they got extremely. Like, no one thought Dak Prescott was going to be this good this quick. Dallas didn't either. They got him in the fourth round compensatory pick, so they really stepped in it. They got lucky. All right,
Chip Kelly loved him.
Chip
Kelly was trying to go to the mat to draft Dak Prescott. Right. He said no.
But you look at the Cowboys; I mean, they tried to draft. You know, they wanted to trade up. You know, they loved Carson Wentz, and they wanted to trade up to get Paxton Lynch, and they tried to get Connor Cook. You know, they settled on Dak. So I don't know why more teams don't do this. You know, if you're worried about your quarterbacks, draft. I'm not saying every year, but every now, you know, you're in the fourth, fifth round. Those players generally don't make your team anyway. So why not try and draft the quarterback, especially if one fell to you?
Yeah, and people are talking about like this Jimmy Garoppolo thing during the offseason. Would the Pats really move him? Because how much does Brady have left? Of course they'll trade him. They're just asking for a huge price to see if they can get it. And if they don't get the huge price, they'll get a big price for a guy that's played two games.
They sort of have no choice because once he's a free agent, he's leaving. They're not going to franchise him.
Right.
Right. So he's going to leave
that's
anyway.
Right.
They have to get something for him. Brady, God bless Brady, but he doesn't want to leave. He wants to play. Maybe he does play him for 3-4 years. Nothing would surprise me at this point. Which was Garoppolo will be gone anyway. If you can get a one or, you know, a two and a four or something like that, absolutely, you move them.
Yeah, the one and the four price is out there. I just don't see why they would let him walk. I think you move him, especially if McDaniels goes and is interested in getting him. I think they just, you know, figure out a price and move on from him. But, you know, tons of time in the past we've talked about Patriots backups, Ryan Mallett and Kevin O'Connell and Matt Gutierrez, and I can keep going on and on and on. It's always somebody that you're talking about. They always try to draft somebody and develop them. You know, it's a thing I get concerned about most as a Steelers fan. kudos to Landry Jones for playing well against the Browns, but I've seen him play plenty in the past, and it's not there. Like, when Roethlisberger is out, the Steelers' chances are done. We see this in New York, too. Now, granted, people will tell me that Eli stinks anyway, but if Eli got hurt and Ryan Nassib had to come in, you'd see really how bad an offense could be. So there's a lot of reasons to draft these guys, as you said, develop them, and keep it moving. But in any event, we got off a little bit of a tangent there, but good discussion. The thing I wanted to talk about next is Seattle and Atlanta. Atlanta, a 5-point favorite, a 52-point total. It's not the highest of the weekend because the next game we're going to talk about is it's Dallas Green Bay. That happens today. That's today's first game, 4:35 Eastern. Seattle won 26-24 in Week 6. This is the game where Atlanta fought back from being down. They took the lead. They were controlling this game. Seattle scores relatively late, and then they get the infamous no call on a pass interference on Julio Jones, and the game ends 2-point win for Seattle. So, George, to set it up from the beginning, your initial thoughts on this game?
I mean, listen, I think Atlanta, I have already picked Atlanta to go to the Super Bowl, so that pretty much tells you who I think is going to win. Seattle has a shot, though. I think they're going to try and do what most teams are going to try and do, is keep that Atlanta offense off the field, which means you're going to run the ball with Thomas Rawls. You know, if he can have a big game, I mean, in a lot of ways, you would have, if you're a Seattle fan, you would have liked to have seen what happened last week happen this week, and then, you know, take a chance of what happened last week. 164 yards would certainly come in handy later on today. You know, so I think that's what they need to do. But it all comes down to this. Can they keep Vic Beasley away from Russell Wilson? Can that offensive line hold up? That's the whole key to this game. Nothing else really matters here. Can they hold up and keep Beasley away? You know, led the NFL in sacks. We know that offensive line for Seattle at times, and I would say more often than not, has been putrid. So they need that to happen, you know, for that offense to work here. Because I don't think no matter what Seattle does, your best case scenario is you're probably holding Atlanta to 24 to 27 points. Best case. Now, I have them scoring more than that, but that's your best case scenario. So you're going to need to score points. You know, Seattle defense is not what it used to be. And Lord knows Scott Engel and I got into it all week, as he's already been like, he's already been accepting defeat because Earl Thomas is out. It's a loss. It's a huge loss. But Seattle has other defensive players that should be able to help overcome. Between Michael Bennett, Irvin, Chancellor, Richard Sherman. So they have other defensive players. I think they can keep Atlanta somewhat in check. And I think 24 to 27 points would be keeping them in check. The question is, can they score with them? That's my problem there. I expect Richard Sherman, if I'm Pete Carroll, Richard Sherman is following Julio Jones all over the place. I'm not letting Julio Jones beat me. If Gabriel beats me, if Sanu beats me, Hardy beats me, fine. But it's not going to be Julio Jones. I'm putting my best on their best. You're absolutely right about the pass interference. They didn't call it. It certainly was. But it doesn't matter now anyway. I hope it's a good game. But, you know, everything I say here, I think Atlanta's going to be able to get to Wilson. Seattle has not played well on the road all season long. I don't think it's going to be an ugly game, but I don't know necessarily in the fourth quarter how close it's going to be either.
Yeah, I actually think Seattle's drop-off, we talk about the Steelers' drop-off from home to road, Seattle's is even worse. Their offenses look putrid at times. Keep in mind, when they played back in week six, or is it week four, I'm sorry. It was week six, actually. They produced nearly 700 yards of offense between the two of them. Earl Thomas was there, and Julio Jones did have 139 receiving yards. Matt Ryan threw for 335. This is in Seattle. And Jimmy Graham actually had a good game there as well. Keep in mind, a storyline here is Dan Quinn, head coach of the Falcons, is a former Pete Carroll assistant. You know, we talked about the pass interference call, obviously, but I think George hit the nail on the head. This Seattle offensive line, they were able to establish the run big time against the Lions last week. I think Chris Collinsworth did a pretty good job of breaking down that game and talking about how the internal offensive linemen were playing really well against the Lions. I think the Lions were a team that was kind of beat, and obviously they couldn't put any points up, so that game just kind of unraveled on them. Now, you know, Matt Ryan 1-4 in the playoffs, and he's got some pressure on him, but I think he's played well enough this year, and Kyle Shanahan and the passing game and the running game have done such a good job of bringing it together. I think this is ideal for them. I think they needed this bye more than any other team that's in the playoffs, to be honest. You know, New England is going to kill it with their bye, and Kansas City is great after byes, and Andy Reid. But I think Atlanta needed this bye more than anybody else. They don't need any opportunities to get tripped up, and getting Seattle at home was a huge plus.
Yeah, I never really thought about this question. Which team needed the bye the most? Dallas, Atlanta, New England, I don't think it really mattered. And KC, yeah, I guess I would agree with you there. I can't see a reason not to. Obviously, you don't want to play Seattle in Seattle. I mean, there are for many reasons.
Yeah, then that's what it would have been.
Yeah,
you know,
so
that's what it could have been.
Good job by them. Like I said, Matt Ryan's playing great, but you know, I'd be also amiss if I didn't bring up that, you know, what do we all like to say about Tony Romo? Comes up small in big games. Well, so does Matt Ryan. It's a small sample size, but he's 1-4 in the playoffs. Twice they've had home field. Twice they've blown it. You know, so you wonder about that too. But I think this is also a different Atlanta team than all those. You know, this has probably got to be his best offense. I mean, he's got, you know, you got Freeman, you got Coleman, both threats out of the backfield. Julio Jones, when healthy, is dynamic. You've got good secondary receivers there. I mean, that's why it's so hard to see them not scoring 24 to 27 points minimum. You know, it makes life very difficult. Seattle can't make mistakes here. If this was the Seattle team of old, and it's going to be one of these matchups, it'd be a slugfest. It'd be a fantastic game to watch here, but they're not. You know, I think Russell Wilson's probably going to have to make plays with his legs, both in the pocket and outside the pocket, escaping the rush, you know, avoiding the pass pressure, yet still finding someone downfield. Everything points to Atlanta in this game. You know, whether they're rested, Seattle, I wouldn't say beat up, but they played last week, so they're a little, you know, certainly not anywhere near as healthy as Atlanta is. Just assuming that defense holds up and doesn't get us to a complete shootout, I can't see Atlanta losing.
Yeah, in some ways, listen, we know that their pass rush has been improved. We know Vic Beasley is on the scene. I think the defense in general has improved. When you look at them statistically, I don't really – they're one of the teams that's a little bit more difficult to evaluate if you're just looking at it statistically, because it doesn't give an accurate picture of what happened with them this season, because they allowed the most passing attempts in the league. Why? Because they put up the most points in the league. People are constantly throwing their way back into games. They put up 540 points, most in the league, 6,600 yards, which is the second most in the league. So teams are constantly having to throw their way back into the games against them. So they gave up 4,200 passing yards, and they gave up 31 passing touchdowns. Now, do they need to lock that up a little bit? Sure, but I don't think it's fair to necessarily put it all on the defense when some of these games were over, when teams were racking up stats. Now, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, and I've watched Matt Ryan extensively. George, I'd say this all the time. I'm a BC grad. I'm a big fan of Matt Ryan, and I really hope they win. I hope they get to the Super Bowl. They're my rooting interest outside of the Steelers. So he is known for throwing killer interceptions. He's done it in the regular season. He's done it in the playoffs. I have to mention that, because they will do their best to try to confuse him and make him throw that killer pick. So he's got to avoid that. It has the potential to be a tight game, and that killer pick is going to swing this game.
It's the same thing I said earlier about the Roethlisberger and Smith. It really is for any quarterback. There's nothing wrong with throwing the ball away. You know, you can't get the Seattle defense, which we know is good, get them in a frenzy where now they're feeling it. All right? Listen, if Sherman has Jones and it's not there, go someplace else. On 3rd and 7, if it's not there, don't throw it into, you know, with 3 guys around 1, don't try and fit it into Julio Jones or whoever else you might do it. Nothing wrong with check down and punting the ball. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you're gonna score your points. Don't make it easy on Seattle. Yeah, because I think we're Atlanta, I think their offense sort of comes easy, and I mean, they can go up and down the field somewhat. Seattle's going to have to work for it, because they're going to have a lot of 2nd and 13s because Russell Wilson got sacked. Or, you know, 2nd and 10s because they had to throw a ball away. That sort of thing. As much as I do like Rawls, he's not an all-world back where he's going to be able to control a game by himself. Detroit last week, let's face it, Detroit was a team that was out of gas. You know, they ran out once the injury hit Stafford, they really never had a shot. You know, so in some ways, last week's game was the tune-up for Seattle for really the main course here, which comes with Atlanta. Just don't make – like I said, I can't see Atlanta losing this game unless they make mistakes. Or maybe they're rusty for not having to worry about a game for a couple of weeks. You know, it's the only way I see them losing this game. So Matt Ryan, yes, you can't throw those red zone interceptions you were last season. Can't revert back to that. Just play your game. Even if it doesn't go well for you in the first quarter or so, you know, you're down a little bit, don't panic. Don't change your game plan.
That's right. We'll talk about the fantasy implications, who you should have in your one-and-dones, two-and-dones, whatever, after the break. We'll keep talking Seattle, Atlanta, Mike and George back after this. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike and George got an hour left after this segment, taking it all the way till 10. I'm going to run the show back from 10 to 1 so you guys get to hear my nasally drone for the next several hours. So appreciate that. Appreciate you listening. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. George is at George Kurtz. I'm at Mike Blewett. We do have that poll up. It is which new head coach inherited the best situation? Doug Marrone, Anthony Lynn, Sean McVay, Sean McDermott. So we will continue to talk about the game. So, George, here we sit. We have our first chance to use the Falcons in our one-and-dones, and it seems like, based on Julio Jones' success in game number one, he's always a legitimate option. Is Julio a guy you're going to use in your one-and-dones this week?
Nope. No, why take a chance? He's going up against Richard Sherman for most of that game. No. I think Atlanta does win the game, so I'll get to use them next week, and I don't care who they play next week, Dallas or Green Bay. Better matchup, that's where I'm going with Julio Jones. So, no, I'm not going to use Julio Jones this week.
Anybody else there from Atlanta, or are you going to hit the pause button because you're predicting an Atlanta win? You're going to hit the pause button, just use them next week all around?
Probably going to hit the pause. I mean, once again, it'll come down to who you used last week, who you have available. But more than likely, I'm not going to use too many Falcons this week. So I'm going to play it more safe here. And because, like I said, I think they're going to win the game. That's always comes, one and done. You always have to trust your judgment. I think they win the game. And next week, like I said, Green Bay or Dallas, much better matchup all around there. Maybe not for Freeman and Coleman. You know, Dallas does have a good run defense if it goes that direction. Green Bay, not so much. So I could see you that, but Seattle can stop the run too. You know, Coleman is somebody I could be talking to using today, though, because I think short passes out of the backfield or in front of the cover three, I think that could work.
Coleman is an interesting DFS play, especially in tournaments. He does a really good job of finding the end zone, and obviously on a site like DraftKings where you're getting a point per catch, I do think it is an interesting play with Tevin Coleman. I think I tend to side with you. I think I'm going to back off of, you know, I used Russell Wilson last week. So here's in my one and done and league that I'm in. So you get to use players once, can't use them again. We didn't use Rawls. We did use Baldwin. So we had some success. I think we're probably in like sixth place out of a big group of experts. But since I used Russell Wilson, I got to lean NFC. But honestly, I'm much more likely to use Aaron Rodgers than I am Matt Ryan. So I think I could go that route. Obviously, I need to find a place where I can now save AFC quarterbacks, right? So I'll duck using Ben Roethlisberger. I'll duck using Tom Brady. Until they get to the Super Bowl. So I think I'm gone down the NFC path, if you know what I mean. I could pivot now if I wanted. I could go to Tom Brady, I suppose, and then stay on the AFC side. But then that puts me, if you can follow my logic here, George, that puts me having to pick an AFC quarterback next week to play in New England. I don't want to do that.
Well, let's see. Looking at certainly don't
if I pick Brady this week. Yeah.
I could see your dilemma there. You know, I could certainly see the where you're leaning to. That's what we have to think about. What are my picks this week? How do they affect next week in one and dones? You know, who can I go with there? You know, you have to think about that. So, what are my better odds? Maybe it's because you don't like the player this week, but if it helps me next week, you know, I get two okays rather than one good, one bad. Maybe you want to avoid that. So, I agree with you. I think I see your dilemma, Mike.
I think I go Aaron Rodgers this week. Stick with the NFC next week, which could be Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan against Dallas or Green Bay. I'll take that.
Right. What would be a problem is I pick Aaron Rodgers and the Seahawks win. Then I'm in real trouble.
Because then I have used Russell Wilson next week.
I used him. Then I got to go with the AFC quarterback. And then I don't know what I'm going to do. So actually, I got to talk through this a little bit. I don't want to put myself in a
situation where I have no
quarterback.
But see, that's why you got to trust what your picks are, though.
No kidding.
We don't think Seattle's going to win. Sure, they can. Of course they can. But we don't think they're going to.
Maybe I just go Matt Ryan, and then I have a guaranteed NFC quarterback for next week. So we shall see. You know, on the Seahawks side, I don't know that you trust anybody. Other than Doug Baldwin, I can see Doug Baldwin having another good game. That's the guy that I would go to if I'm leaning Seattle.
Same here.
You can certainly go Rawls here if you like, but that explosion last week is not indicative of how successful he's been over the long haul here. That was his breakout game. I don't expect him to do the same thing. How about yourself?
No, I agree. I'm not thrilled about Rawls today. I mean, there are a lot of running backs I like better in one and duns, including yeah, you got to go Le'Veon Bell alone. Elliott comes to mind. Atlanta's going to – that whole game as far as the running game is going to concern me on both sides. I do. If you're asking me to choose Rawls or Freeman or Coleman, I do have Rawls ahead there because I think they're going to try to run the ball to keep that Atlanta Falcons offense off the field.
Okay, 2 hours down, folks. We got 1 hour left. We're going to talk Dallas at Green Bay after the break. Feel free to hit us up with any questions that you like at 84 Fantasy. But it's Mike and George. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning, this Saturday edition and divisional playoff weekend. We'll be back after the break.